My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Well, good morning, everybody. Ben and Woods, 97.3 The Fan. Great to be here with you on this wonderful Thursday. Almost the end of August. September is right around the corner. And listen, just relax out there. No need to panic. Everything is fine. I promise you. Everything is going to be okay. Happy National Sports Day to my friends.
It's a big day.
It's a huge day for one of us. Yes. We've got, I'm Woodsy, by the way. That's Paul Reindel. He is the executive producer of the show. Morning, Paulie.
Good morning.
Benjamin Higgins. National Sports Day, or as you call it, just Thursday.
Absolutely. Good morning.
Good morning to you.
You just promised something that you can't promise.
Sure, I can.
No, you can't.
I can.
You can't.
Everything's going to be okay.
No, you can't promise that.
I absolutely can. You're going to be fine. Sun's going to rise tomorrow. You're going to be
okay.
Good.
I'm confident the sun's going to rise tomorrow.
Everything's going to be okay.
I'm also confident that the Padres are going to be fine, but I can't promise it to anybody.
I will.
I don't have that authority.
I'll put it on record. They're already better than we thought that they would be. So, if you want to look at it like that, we're in good shape.
That only means we can be more disappointed in the end, though.
I mean, I'm very impressed. Still, even in a loss last night, you know.
I didn't think there was anything alarming about the loss last night.
Now, I'm not super alarmed.
Alarmed isn't the word, but it's a little jarring to see Robert Suarez blow a lead.
It's jarring to see this team
lose. They never had a lead. It was a tie game.
A blow game.
Yeah. It's jarring to see this team lose right now because they have been playing so well. They have been coming through in those moments. 162 of them, man. It's not going to happen ever. No one's going to run the table, but I it's hard for me to rip this team right now. It just is. Sorry. And if that's not being objective,
so soft.
Fine. I am what I am. I love this team. They've given me a million reasons to love them. I'm not going to panic today. I will panic, though, about a text exchange that we had last night. Now, this is multi-layered. There's multi-layers of this. So oftentimes we have a show thread. You guys know it just says Ben and Paul. It's not named Ben and Woods or anything like that.
Should our text thread have a name?
Probably. We probably need something, you know, Ben and Woods show thread.
The core three.
We have two threads. We have the one with Adam.
Oh, we have one with Adam, too.
And then, yes.
And then the other one.
That's true.
That we use after Adam
texts. The funny part is when, of course, we have the thread with Adam, but then the sub-thread commenting on the thread with Adam with three of us cutting him out.
It's usually me going, is he out of his mind? Yeah. Is usually what it is.
It's usually Adam sending a link to something
that we've seen, covered.
Talked about it 2 weeks ago.
Right.
And then we go to the other thread without Adam.
And I hit you guys with the, is he out of his mind? We just did this today. Right here on Ben and Woods, 97.3 The Fan, 6 a.m. to 10 a.m.
He should listen.
He should. So I, we text about the game that's going on. So there's nothing. Paulie and I are texting. We're texting some ideas for the show. Ben is radio silent. So this is pretty funny. I text Paul. I go, is he dead? And Paul writes.
Wait, so there's even a sub-thread with just the two of you.
Yeah,
below
just
three,
like there's
four,
a sub-thread between
three,
you two. I get it.
Paul and I almost never text. If we text, you see it. Paulie and I, unless there's something very unusual like we're pulling that prank on you or something. There's not a lot of communication just between me and Paul.
And like Woods calls me 3 to 4 times a day.
Correct. We now, get all of our...
Occasionally, if Woods and I text, it's almost usually golf related of some sort, yeah. And Paul doesn't need to see that.
But. If Ben ever called me, I would assume somebody's dead.
Somebody died.
Like, Woods died.
Yeah, yeah, Woods is not coming back.
I've called Paul maybe twice ever.
6 years? So, Paulie is...
Woods requires just a little bit more. Maybe 3 times a year, yeah. I'll talk to Woods. But
Paulie is he's a freaking genius. I go, is he dead? Where is he? And Paul goes, I swear to God, Paul goes, ask him what time the Aztecs play on Saturday. So I kid you not, I write, Ben, what time do the Aztecs play on Saturday? 4 seconds later, .. 5 p.m. And I said, that was a proof of life text, by the way. This dude looking at his phone going, no,
we had been texting,
Woods on the
thread had been texting for hours.
Hours.
Do I have to comment on every meme, every
shared
tweet, every single time?
Yes.
I see them.
We thought you died.
I thought you were dead.
I was just doing my evening, watching the game, picking up dinner, and then that was what was going on.
So I said to him, he goes, I tweeted about Higgy. I'm off tonight, which I didn't know. He said, I just picked up Thai food for dinner. I said, oh, in my mind, I said, well, that sounds good. And then I looked at my clock. And it on the phone, and it said 7:30 p.m. I had just put Bowen Taylor down. I was in my bed under the covers, and I go, wait a minute. I go, wait, you're just now eating? He says, yeah, this is what this guy says. So he was pissy. He goes, yes, we are adults. And I went, no normal adult eats at effing 7:30.
I understand you have to eat earlier with smaller children.
Sure.
But there's no reason that I have to eat dinner at 5 o'clock.
Okay, how about 6? Who eats at 7? What are you, European? You're Spanish now?
So it just makes more sense to eat later in the evening.
It doesn't.
I stay up later than you.
That's true.
So, you know,
you were off.
Yes, but I'm probably still not going to go to sleep until close to 11. So if I eat too early, like at 6, I'm just going to be hungry again at 9:30 or 10. So
we are adults.
I eat a later dinner like people in Italy or France or Spain.
Yeah, we are adults. And I went, that's number one. It's the sassiest he's ever been on text.
I was like, damn.
Like the bitchiest and sassiest he's ever been. I go, ooh, I touched a nerve here. Adults. Yes, 7:30, we are adults.
I understand that some people eat earlier, want to go to bed earlier, but that is usually because you have children or you have a lack of patience to be able to wait until later to eat dinner, right? I mean,
I get hungry. Like, I'm at 4:30, well, yes, I'm starving.
I'm also getting hungry, but if I wait it out a little bit longer, I can continue to look forward to my dinner, and then I have my dinner.
So they actually say, though, it's better to go to bed on an empty stomach than...
Which I still will.
You
because
will.
There'll still be 3 hours between when I eat and when I probably end up going to bed.
That's the difference.
See, now, if I eat at 5, I've got 6 hours before I'm
okay,
going to bed.
But hold on. You had a night off. You had a night off. You could have gone and slept like a normal... Gone to bed at 9. Game was over at 8.
Yeah.
Nobody's telling you have to stay up till 11, which is insane when you host a morning
show. But when you stay up until 11 every single day, you can't just simply one day go to bed at 8:30 or 9.
I get up at 4 o'clock in the morning, most sometimes 3, today 2, for this gig. On a Saturday or Sunday... If I can't sleep in, I'm allowed to sleep in. I'm not. I'm sleeping.
Well, I can sleep
3.
In a little bit more, but can you go to bed earlier?
Oh God!
Like
you have no idea.
If you had no one around, what time you usually go to bed around 8 to 9?
In bed by like 8. Yeah.
All right. If you had no kids and no Hannah, they were out of town, would you go to bed at 6 because you had a chance to go to bed earlier?
Yeah,
you could.
Well, okay. Off night for the Padres?
Yeah,
bro. 1,000%. I would eat dinner.
You could go to bed at 6.
I would eat dinner at 4. I would take my Ambien at 5, and I would handle some business. Then I would fall asleep by 6 or 6:30, and I wouldn't even think twice
about it. We have a member stream tonight, so we'll be a little bit busy tonight.
Oh, man.
No, if there were no member stream and the Padres play at 11:15,
I'm going to bed at 7.
I'd be asleep by 8 for sure.
Yeah, if I didn't have my
for
kids.
Sure.
Well, when I work, I never eat dinner until after I'm done at least with my 6 o'clock.
With your 6 o'clock.
So usually it's 6:45, 7, 7:15 somewhere in there when I eat dinner, and probably do it after the member stream tonight. So
I think it's fine.
7:30.
I don't think I appreciated the "we are adults" comment. I think that I said, "Does he want to fight? Is he spoiling for one today?" But to answer your question, yeah, easily. If Hannah's like, "I'm taking the kids for a week," and the Potter, it was the off season, bro. 6:30, your boy is dead asleep. I mean, as sacked out as a human can be. Now, I told Hannah last night, I go, I am praying that, when's daylight savings again?
It'll end in like November.
Okay. We have to wait that long?
Yeah.
Well, it's getting, you know, a little bit darker, a little earlier, which is great.
November 3rd.
I can't believe I got to wait that long. Because those kids at that time, they're going to bed at 4:30 p.m. And I'm going to bed at 6:30 p.m. Baseball season will be over, and that's it. I'm going to get my rest, I guess, in the winter. But, yeah, I didn't like that sassy text from you last night, Benjamin. We are adults. Yeah, European adults. I don't know how they do it over there. They're like,
I will say, when
they don't eat till 9.
When we went to Italy, waiting until after 8 to go out to eat, that was even a little late for me.
When we went to,
can we have a reservation at 7?
No.
Can we have a reservation at 8? Yes, but you're going to be the only person at the restaurant if you do.
Great. Can you imagine when we went to Paris, we did the same thing. It was like, I was like, I'm starving. And you have to get on their clock and their schedule. So you finally do that. And then you're like, it's dinner time. Hannah's like, it's 1. You know, like, well, we're eating dinner. I don't know what to tell you. If we have to grab a sandwich or something, like, it's not easy. I don't know how they do it. And the other thing they do is their dinners are like 3 hours long. They just sit and just rot there. And I don't operate that way. I mean, many say, wild, that's the way.
Like, you know. I'll be 34 in a few weeks. When I was like 21, 22, like, we would start the night at like 10 p.m.
Sure.
Like, you would go out and go to somebody's house at 9 or 10 p.m.
We used to drive it to Dallas at 11.
Yeah. And then you're at the bars around 11, 11:30. I'm like, there's no chance. There's zero chance. If I wanted to go out and blow off some steam, I'm like, how does 6:30 sound for everybody?
How about 4:30? Can you get off a little early? We'll go at 4:30.
Happy hour.
Let's get plowed, and then I'll be passed out by 9. Like, that's just the best way to do it. I've said it many times. You guys know I love live music and concerts. I need these older bands to start accommodating us older folk more and say, we're playing at 7. Or 6. We're taking the stage at 6:30.
The Rolling Stones should not be hitting the stage at
9 p.m. There's no way. There's just no chance.
At Fantasy Camp, when we went to Explicit, we got there, around 6:30?
Yeah.
7?
6:37.
Definitely wasn't prime time yet.
Well, again, that's kind of what you want. You want to be the only
place to ourselves. Yeah,
the best service. But anyway, well, I mean, I'm also an adult, but I do have small kids. You got to get them fed and in the shower and all that stuff, and have them chilling out. Because the thought of sitting down for dinner at 7:30.
I understand. I just feel like once your kids are grown, you're going to want to push that back a little bit to civilized hour.
I think I'm going to push my bedtime up once I'm older and grown. But anyway, we digress. We've got a great show for you.
16-year-old Bo is going to have a 5 p.m. bedtime.
That kid's curfew is going to be 8:45. I need you home by 8:45. Senior in high school. Why? Well, because I got to get up and go to work tomorrow. Yeah, like I'm going to be doing this in 10 years. But at any rate, we have a very special surprise today.
We do. We will share with you what that surprise guest will be in our menu setting. That is coming up next. We'll let you know what's coming up on the program today. I will say, get a little extra Ben and Woods on a Thursday. No roundtable today. But we will be going until 10:15, and the EcoWater SoCal Padres pregame show as the Padres wrap up their 4-game series in St. Louis. So 15 minutes down, 4 hours to go with Ben and Woods on a throwback Thursday. Check traffic with Kelly Danick, and then off we go on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yell.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoops.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This hour on 97.3 The Fan is brought to you by Floor & Decor. Unbeatable prices, unmatched in-stock selection. Floor & Decor has more styles of laminate, vinyl, tile, wood, and stone for anyone looking for the right look at the right price. Your next beautiful space is at Floor & Decor. Floor & Decor, unbeatable prices, unmatched in-stock selection. Well, I'm only about 13 hours away from dinner tonight, so that's good. Woods is only about 11 hours from dinner
can't
tonight.
Wait. Scrumptious.
So we count it down. We're about 4 hours, 5 hours from Padres baseball against the St. Louis Cardinals. So we've got some time to fill between now and then. Here is how we plan to fill it. Obviously, we will talk about last night's game, our Padres wrap-up, 4-3 walk-off loss to the St. Louis Cardinals. Talk about Joe Musgrove's performance. And obviously, Woods, we will get into the decision of Jurickson Profar, not Mike Shildt or the coaching staff, but the decision by Jurickson Profar to lay down a sacrifice bunt in the top of the ninth inning to move the runner, a pinch runner in that case, Tyler Wade, to third base with one out. The decision that ultimately did not work out for the San Diego Padres. I don't know why I'd bring that up in front of you at this moment. Maybe it's because you've had strong opinions about sacrifice bunts in the past. We'll just save it. Just save it.
Yeah.
For now.
I think I will.
Okay.
Yeah.
You can think on how you want to phrase things.
I think you
diplomatically.
Know. I think you know.
Perhaps.
Maybe take a walk before you.
Yeah. Do a little breath work. Perhaps.
We know you like Jurickson Profar a lot.
I love him. Love him. Guy's a monster. Like one of the most clutch hitters in the seventh inning and beyond all season.
Sometimes you disagree with people you love.
Where is he? What is? He was at the bottom of the lineup last night. Oh, no, he wasn't.
Batting second.
Yeah,
he usually is. But we will discuss how the ninth inning played out last night. We'll get the highlights from Jesse and Tony in last night's game, which was a little disappointing ending for your San Diego Padres. Coming up in our 7 o'clock hour, we've got our regular features of Real or Fake on a Throwback Thursday. If you don't know musical trivia, this is your opportunity to qualify for a trip to Las Vegas. You don't have to go head-to-head against Woods. It's just you against the Real or Fake category. Don't do this at 7:20. Paulie's got some throwback clips for us in our 7:30 segment today.
Boy, do I.
Including a very early clip from our show's history.
One of the first.
I feel like we do this every 3 weeks.
We don't.
We do it once a year.
We do it every August.
Yeah.
Oh, 2020.
Oh, God.
Oh, my God. Never been so mad in my whole life, ever. I was more mad about this than I was the bunt.
Coming up in the second half of the program, we're going to have to play a little bit flexible because we have not one but two guests coming up in the 8 o'clock hour, perhaps 9 o'clock hour. We'll see. Eno Saris will join us, as he always does, for his Smart Baseball segment. Eno from The Athletic, which is a TBD because of our other guest, Padres shortstop Mason McCoy, is going to join us. Pretty much as soon as they get to the ballpark for pregame warm-ups and everything, but they didn't have an exact time. Around 8:30.
Yeah.
8:30 is what we've kind of got circled right now. So we may have to break early, late, whatever, to get Mason McCoy
to
on.
Stay with us, yeah.
The plan is 8:30. Now, I'm going to have to learn a little bit about Mason McCoy. I've already Wikipedia'd him just to see a couple of factoids. Like, you know, he went to the University of Iowa.
From Joliet, Illinois.
Iowa Hawkeye. No. So I have from Peoria, Illinois.
Peoria. Mudge
from Joliet.
Paulie and I had this convo before you got here. He is probably very familiar with corn and all of its inner workings if he went to Iowa. A lot of corn there.
He is. He's filled a nice role while Ha-Sung Kim has been on the injured list. Probably, though, that a temporary role. And he's got to imagine it's, you know, not going to last forever. And when guys come back, there's going to be a roster crunch, and he may not be around for, you know, the playoff stretch or the postseason. But
Don't start the conversation like that, please.
Right.
Please don't.
Hey, Mason, you know, there's a good chance you get cancer someday. Just FYI. We all will, I'm just saying.
My point is, it's still an important role, though. And if the Padres go on and, you know, win their first ever World Series, he'll be very worthy of a ring
100%.
For what he has contributed now just over the last week or so with the Padres.
I'd probably keep him on the roster. His glove is magnificent, man. The play he made last night up the middle, I mean, on Xander's side of the field, essentially, was fantastic.
Which is somewhat expected. That's why they brought him up. What's been unexpected is how often he's gotten on base in his time with the San Diego Padres. That's been a pleasant little bonus of Mason McCoy, and has earned him basically a spot in the everyday lineup for the past 5 or 6 days. He's been in there, and he's earned some faith, it seems like, from Mike Schilt and the coaching staff. So we will chat and get to know Mason McCoy coming up at 8:30 this morning. And then we'll stretch it out with a Rindle Report and get you to Sammy Levitt's EcoWater SoCal pregame show at 10:15. As the Padres go for the series win over the St. Louis Cardinals.
Diesel actually wrote it out for you if you want to read it verbatim from the chat. He said, hey, Mason, chances you're going to get DFA'd when Ha-Sung Kim comes back. Thoughts? Yeah, I mean, obviously to the back of his mind. I'm curious as to, did you see his line before he got to the Padres and he was with Toronto? Paulie and I were kicking this around this morning of how this line actually came to be. He got called up with the Blue Jays
last year. Bichette was injured and they brought him up.
So he had 6 games. He had 1 plate appearance, 1 at bat, 1 strikeout, scored 2 runs.
0-1.
0-1 2 runs scored. No walks. No hit by pitches.
He's a pinch runner.
Pinch runner.
Many times.
That's what we thought. Yeah. Pinch runner. And you get credit. Yeah, you're going to get the credit for that
run. You touch the plate, you score the run.
See, it's different in adult league. It is. So, yeah, what an odd kind of start to his career. I mean, he's 1 plate appearance away from being Moonlight Graham. You know what I mean? And then the Padres call him up. And I've certainly loved what he's brought to the team, solidifying the shortstop role with Kimmy being out. Has made some really good plays. And mostly, Benny, he's made the plays he needed to make with a couple of extras sprinkled in there. He turns really. He's got the turn down. He's really, really good in that respect. You feel pretty confident these days when the ball goes to the left side of the infield. And Manny was off his ass defensively last night. What else can you say? Ridiculous. He's absolutely ridiculous. The double play he turned on the short hop, the foul ball catch that he made, the one down the line. I mean, he was just...
He had like 6 this insane series. Plays.
He's been out of his mind with the glove. So, last night was a bit of a tough one to stomach, but it's going to happen. You know, you just need Bobby Suarez. You need Bobby Suarez, who he scuffled a little bit lately, giving up some runs, which is uncharacteristic of him. I mean, maybe needs a little bit of a breather, but it's tough because you can't really afford to drop games right now. And we saw what happened with Arizona and LA last night. So, yeah, kind of right back to where we started.
I saw a ton, and we can discuss this as well. On my timeline, of Robert Suarez
is washed.
Yeah, just yeah. Panic.
Saw it too.
Panic about Robert Suarez. Now, have his numbers been as locked down as they were in the first half of the season? No, but at the same time, he certainly hasn't been bad in the second half of the year.
No.
Other teams have made some contact. After the contact is made, there's a lot of luck involved in baseball. Once the contact is made, the ball hits the ground and starts rolling. A lot of times it goes at someone. Occasionally it doesn't. And it doesn't often happen that three times in a row you make okay contact and the ball finds holes or a little bit of outfield grass.
Yeah.
That's what happened to Robert Suarez in the ninth inning. We can discuss that coming up. I kind of did the math on the expected batting average of what he gave up. He really didn't give up much last night. It just happened to be in the right for the right places.
Well, and again, but though I will say this to the doomer, I don't think he's washed at all by any stretch. His
sure hope not.
They're not whiffing off of him like they were. They're just not. His whiff rate is way down. You know, his K rate is down, Benny. When you have a closer, and we saw a really, really good one on the other side last night, Ryan Helsley. Ryan Helsley gets a ton of swing and miss, which is kind of what you need in the night. Having a contact, a guy that's maybe slipping a little bit because, I don't know, maybe he's tired. He's had over his innings, you know, pitched in his career, all of that. Or he's short. I think he's just six short of it, of what he threw last year. Yeah, it's a little bit of a cause for concern, but I have no doubts that they're going to get him back on the right track.
But the velocity isn't really down.
The velocity
is still
really down.
100, 101.
Yep.
So what's different? I don't know.
Pitch
I assume
mix,
Ruben Niebla. I mean, the pitch mix in the first half of the season was non-existent.
Yeah,
I mean, he went a month without throwing anything
sure.
but a and, fastball.
But again, like guys make adjustments in the big leagues. I mean, they're not barreling his fastball
well,
either.
Right.
So yeah, it's,
right.
It's,
I mean,
why
my point
you keep
here
throwing it?
Is the job of a pitcher. Yes, you'd love to get some swing and miss and strikeouts, but ultimately you're hoping either to get a ground ball or soft contact
absolutely.
In the air.
Yep.
And Robert Suarez got three of those in a row. Two of them were ground balls. One of them was soft contact in the air. That's a win for the pitcher. After it leaves the bat, he can't do anything about it. But his job is either to strike a guy out, get a ground ball, or get soft contact in the air.
Sure.
And that's all he gave up last night.
Yep.
So that's not the night to panic about Robert Suarez. Now, if he gives up gapping line drives and home runs, and there's been a couple of those in the second half, but not that many, then you start wondering, okay, what's going on? What's wrong? But Robert Suarez won his battles last night. He had five of them. He won all of them. He lost the game, but he won his individual battles as a pitcher, getting what you're supposed to get. Strikeout, ground ball, weak contact in the air.
Sure.
That's all the Cardinals got off of him yesterday.
Yeah, for sure.
But I sometimes mean, that's enough.
It's yeah, but you know, as Zen just points, five of his last eight outings, he's given up a run. He's there is a little bit of a scuffle, but it's certainly not anything to should we.
But that could also just be the normal flow
of the season.
Of a season.
Yeah, 100%.
When you know. So we'll talk about that coming up. We've got our Padres wrap-up in our next segment. We'll take a quick break, come back with those highlights and more with Ben and Woods on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. Baseball coverage on 97.3 The Fan is presented by T-Mobile. Switch to T-Mobile. You can get tons of benefits and still save on every plan versus AT&T and Verizon. Use their savings calculator to find out how at T-Mobile.com/switch. All right, we kind of previewed a little bit of the conversation about last night's game already. Let's get into it, though. Our Padres wrap-up, all the highlights coming up right after traffic here on 97.3 The Fan.
It's a shame if they lose.
Oh, a shame indeed.
It's a complete crap.
Oh, I did not like that.
Here are the lowlights from yesterday's game.
Are you kidding me?
Boo.
It's the Padres wrap-up, presented by Hummel Casino. With thrilling slots and tables and all the best rewards, Hummel Casino has all the fun you're looking for. Hummel Casino. Fun above all else.
We'll give it 16 minutes of salt and then we'll, you know, get back on the bump and figure it out.
It's not your fault.
Ahead here, 3-0. Here's the pitch from Pallante, swinging at a ground ball up the middle into center field, and a base hit. Arise is being waved at third base. Newbard's throw will go to third. The tag is not in time. RBI single Manny Machado. Cronenworth able to go first to third, and the Padres take a 1-0 lead here in the first. Runners on the corners, one out for Bogarts. Machado runs. 3-2 pitch, swung on and missed. Throw down is high into center field, and Cronenworth's going to come in and score. Baje has airmailed his throw up to second base, and San Diego ahead 2-0 here in the first. Who's barely leading off the bat. And this pitch hit in the air to left center field and deep. Throw far back into the gap, not going to be able to get there. Bounces at the base of the wall. Dirksen plays it well. Burleson has scored. Arenado will stop at third base. An RBI double for Lucan Baker. Cardinals are on the board. It's 2-1. Ball and a strike. Donovan swings, hits it sharply up the middle. McCoy dives, has it, gets up, throws to first in time. Beautifully done. Arenado comes in to score the tying run, but McCoy, A, kept Baker from being able to score, and B, able to collect the second out of the inning. 1-0, Musgrove delivers, and Goldschmidt laces it into center field. That's a base hit. That's going to give the Cardinals a lead. Baker comes in to score. St. Louis in front for the first time tonight. It's 3-2. All in, two strikes. Pitch to Higashioka, launched in the air down the left field line. Pham is back towards the corner. He's looking up. It's going to go! Game-tying homer, Kyle Higashioka with two outs here in the eighth. He is set. He is ready. Payoff pitch on the way. Donovan swings, pops it up, foul ground third baseline. Machado sprinting over near the dugout railing, slides, and he makes the catch! Another huge and unbelievable defensive play by Manny Machado. And the 1-1. Arenado ground ball up the middle into center field and a base hit. Wynn is racing around third. Merrill comes up firing, no chance. Walk-off RBI single for Arenado. Mason Wynn scores, and the Cardinals win 4-3.
Big two out, nobody on. You know, Wynn, it's what he's done all series. Two strikes, hit the ball the other way. Scott threw a tough at bat on him, you know, found some grass. We're trying to be careful to Nolan, and just got a ball that he could, you know, put through the infield.
And that so ends sad. The Padres' three-game winning streak with the 4-3 win by the St. Louis Cardinals, who, by the way, are a .500 team. I mean, they tend to win every other game.
Yeah.
So, you know, you took the first two. Sweeping would have been great, but it's probably not your realistic option on the road. If they get 3 out of 4, you've done a great job in this series. And Joe Musgrove came out, gave up the leadoff single yesterday to Mason Wynn, but then ended up needing only 4 pitches to get through the first inning, thanks to a sensational double play that Manny started. And, you know, Joe just breezed through the first 3 innings.
Yeah.
I mean, he was
17 like, pitches or something.
So efficient. And you're thinking, okay, Joe is going to go deep in this game and looking sharp just like he did on Friday against the Mets. And then he just ran into some trouble in that one inning, the fourth inning. Some of it was just ground balls. He did give up that, you know, ringing double from Lucan Baker. It was probably kind of the big blow in that inning. Paul Goldschmidt has been a problem this series.
He's, you know, he was coming into the series pretty cold, and as he always plays well against the Padres, always did in Arizona, and is carrying that on with
like seven hits now in the 3 games of this series, including that big RBI go-ahead single to cap the 3-run fourth inning. But the Padres stabilized. Joe came back out, gave him a couple more bullpen, gave a couple more shutout innings, and eventually the Padres did what the Padres do. They came up with a big hit to tie the game in the eighth inning. This time it was not Jackson Merrill. It was Kyle Higashioka, who's had his fair share of big home runs for the Padres this season. Did the old Higgy Bank deposit down the left field line. It's his specialty for his 16th of the season.
16 homers for this kid.
And the Padres tie it up 3-3. So they go to the top of the ninth, and they're facing one of the nastier relief pitchers in baseball. Luis Arraez, like ridiculous bat control, cricket style double on a ball that was basically in the dirt.
Off the dirt. I mean, it's off the dirt. You're not even mad if you're Ryan Helsley.
I mean,
Helsley.
It's a Phil Mickelson little wedge shot, you know, right off the line, essentially down left field line, hustles out for the lead double. So you've got the go-ahead run at second base, and you've got your 2-3-4 hitters coming up in the top of the ninth inning looking to take the lead. A situation where the Padres have excelled at this season. This is not 2023. This is a team that has been great close and late, great with runners in scoring position, great in clutch situations all season. And up steps the guy who has been the best in baseball in close and late situations. Not just the best this year, but like historically one of the greatest seasons anyone has ever had, coming through in the clutch late in games with the game on the line and runners in scoring position. Jurickson Profar. Got to feel like you're in good shape if you're the San Diego Padres in that situation.
Yeah, I mean, I said it when he walked up to the plate. I said, he's going to lay one down. And Bo says, how do you know? And I said, because I've watched every game. And Jurickson Profar, this happened, you know, a couple of months ago. And he basically did an interview, and he's like, this is my game. You know, this is how I grew up playing. I'm playing the game in what is, in my mind, the right way. And so people were like, oh, my God, Mike Shildt, you idiot, calling for that bunt. And I wrote one guy back. I said, I would bet you my car that that was Profar doing it on his own. And again, I know that a lot of people want to pretend that this is like high school ball and little league and things like that. You empower your players to make the decisions that they make, and you live with the results, okay? And Mike Shildt said as much after the game. He said, I got it in Kevin Acey's newsletter. He said, look, man, we give Pro the option. I trust him completely. I trust him, and he trusts his teammates. You know, it doesn't always work out, but, man, I trust him completely in that at-bat and making his decision to feel for the game. I support him completely. I really have no problem with that. I have no problem with that style of management. At all. Zero. I think it would be weird if Mike Shildt was swing away. Like, that's a guy, that's a veteran that you trust. Now, the result wasn't what it needed to be. Jake did not get the job done off of Helsley. Manny did not get the job done off of Helsley. You know I hate giving up an out. You know I hate it. A ground ball to the right side does essentially the same thing, but you do have a chance of that ground ball finding a hole and you have a lead. I also don't really like playing for one there at all. I mean, again, with the meat of your lineup coming up, get three or four. Maybe you don't have to use Robert Suarez that game. So, you know, I hate it. If it's the game seven of the World Series, if it's game one of the World Series and it's the bottom of the order, sure. But when the most clutch guy we have on the team gives up and out, a freebie to a guy like Ryan Helsley, you give him just a little bit of a window to say, oh, all right, I can get out of this. And boy, he made some nasty pitches to Crony, and he made some nasty pitches to Manny. So, look, didn't work out. I have no problem, though, with Shildt letting his guys do that. You know, I just don't have any problem with it. Should I have a problem with it? I really don't. I don't have a problem. I think it'd be weird to see a manager waving his hands, swing, give him the old, you know, let's swing away, boys. I mean, he's going to trust his players to make the right decision. He executed the bunt perfectly, but he gave them an out. And outs are precious. And playing for one didn't make a lot of sense to me. But I did like what Profar said, too. Self-awareness. He goes, did you see my at-bats tonight? I was 0 for 4, you know. So, yeah, I mean, what have I always said about the guys that bunt? They're just not feeling confident in their ability. And he's so confident. That's the thing is, like, I've never felt that from Pro. But when you're in a bit of a scuffle, as he is, you want to try to make something happen for your team. I don't really have a problem with it, Benny. You know, but you gave up an out, so it sucks. It didn't work, so it sucks, obviously.
I think in a vacuum, you're probably right that the correct thing to do is to swing away in this situation. I think your best argument that you mentioned was, yeah, getting one run oftentimes wins you the game, but it's also possible you need two or three runs to win the game. You don't know what's going to happen in the bottom of the ninth inning. Jurickson Profar could have hit a home run there, and guess what? Nolan Arenado's single. Maybe makes it a one-run game, but then Robert Suarez gets the next out and you win. The ability to go for a bigger inning is an important part of the equation there. But ultimately, I don't know that there's a total winning argument here. AJ Cassaville did a nice job of mathematically breaking it down. Jurickson Profar's bunt increased the Padres' chances to win the game, but only a little tiny bit, from 67% to 68%. In that moment. Obviously, a base hit in that situation increases their chances probably by like 25% to like 92%.
Yeah,
if he gets a hit there. If he gets a home run, it's probably 95 or 96% at that point to win the game. But if he makes an out and doesn't advance the runner, it lowers the Padres' chance to win, probably down to like 54 or 57%. So there's arguments on both sides. And I also think one argument is Jurickson's been so good in those situations. Yeah. You want him swinging the bat.
100%.
And not leaving it up to Jake Cronenworth against a really nasty pitcher. But when you say that, He's really nasty, which makes the job for Jurickson also harder. That's an argument to bunt as well, knowing how nasty Ryan Helsley is.
Well, then Jake should have bunted.
You can move the if you move the runner over, then you don't need a hit to score him
Correct.
Against a really nasty guy. You just
Correct.
Need to make some decent contact, a fly ball, a ground ball in the right place. I mean, they obviously brought in the infield, didn't need to because Jake ended up striking out. There are arguments on both sides of this one.
Yeah, I mean, what it always boils down to me is you're giving them a precious out. And I again, taking into account Jurickson, and they mentioned it, Kevin mentions it in his newsletter, he's batting 195 over his last 21 games. He says, I haven't been good in about maybe 2 weeks. It's a long season. You're not going to feel your best. It just happens. You're tired. Your legs don't work. This is my first really, really good season. And with a really, really good season, there's a lot of running. You're on base all the time. There's a lot of running, a lot of wear and tear on the body, and it's new to me. I'm learning a lot. And he goes, I'm just playing the game. Crony, he brings that run in most of the time. Sometimes it doesn't work. So we flush it, we move on. But you do wonder, would you do it again today, pro? Given the opportunity. If it's Ryan Helsley again, runner on second, nobody out, would you do it again? And knowing, what exactly happened.
There's also an advantage to being somewhat unpredictable. And
sure.
if the defense knows this guy is always going to bunt in this situation, makes their play a lot easier. But not knowing if Jurickson may swing away or may bunt probably adds to your chance of success both ways, whether you swing away or bunt. By the way, Helsley barehanded that ball, could have thrown it away.
100%.
Could have ended up working out really well for the San Diego Padres in that situation. Vibes-wise, I think you can make the argument that you want Profar swinging away there, the kind of season you've been having. Be confident, go up there. But showing confidence in Jake, who, by the way, came up with a huge go-ahead hit on a great at-bat the night before, probably also good for team morale and camaraderie, passing that baton along and showing some confidence in the guy who hits behind you in the lineup. Didn't work out here, but again, I could go around and around on this topic,
sure,
and probably never come to a definitive right answer.
Yeah, it's baseball, so it's a result. The result didn't get the run in.
That's as simple as
but
it
that's,
can be.
That's,
if it works, it was great.
Yeah,
if it doesn't
it was
But you
terrible.
Don't know that it would have worked had he swung away.
Nope.
He might have struck out and not even gotten the runner
but
over.
But if it's the numbers that you crave, what are his numbers in high-leverage situations and clutch situations?
Even as good as he is, less than 50% of the time. He's not hitting .500.
Welcome
so he's
baseball.
Probably not going to get a hit if he swings away. More than likely, he will not get a hit there.
What's his average?
And he did get the bunt down. I think he's around 390 or something. Something crazily good, but not over .500. We'll continue this discussion, talk about Robert Suarez, and play Real or Fake. All next here on 97.3 The Fan.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. nor taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.